welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Chris White, and joining me this week, Mr. Gary Bailey.
Hello there.
Hello, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, that's wonderful to hear on this blue Monday, which is a Wednesday, obs. Also joining me is Adam Carroll. How are you doing, mate?
Howdy, I'm doing very well.
That's fucking good to hear, mate. Good to hear. And also, we have Podcast Virgin on, well, of our podcast at least. That's Mick Doherty. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm not bad, thank you.
Good. Okay. So, there's one game that we've been talking about for weeks, months even. We've done a lot of previewing of it. But the game is finally out, and Gary and Adam, I believe, have been playing Resident Evil 2, the remake. So, let's just get straight into it, Gary. It's shit, innit?
Oh, yeah, it's fucking an awful, awful game.
Cool, next game. I've read your review. I think it sounds remarkable, but go on. Just let loose.
It's so good. I think it's... The great thing about it is that it's new, while also being, like, faithful to the original.
Yes.
So anyone can play it. And it's brilliant. Like, I mean, I gave Resi 7 a 10, and I still stand by that, but this is better. This is even better. It's like an extra step. It's so
11
good.
Out of 10.
If I could give that, I probably would.
So what makes it so good, then? Because obviously the original is phenomenal, and if everyone's seen our video on God is Geek and YouTube, you need to check it out, because it was a really fun video to do. But we basically just talked about how much we love Resident Evil 2. But obviously the remake is out. What makes it so good?
It's the atmosphere. The atmosphere is so good. Because I spent so much time just sort of wandering around slowly with the torch out, in dark areas, just being like, what's around this corner? Oh shit, it's a liquor, or it's like, oh shit. And you're constantly under pressure because of you've got to watch your ammo and stuff like that. But
yeah,
the story is as good as it was before, but I think it's better this time around, purely because there's better voice acting.
Sorry, just to cut you off quickly, but I was just curious how they've done it. Are there two separate campaigns?
Yes.
The first? Yeah.
Okay. I, surprising most people probably, I started with Leon.
Your favourite?
But yeah, you've got the choice. You can play as Leon or Claire right from the start. And
brilliant.
And each one's different enough, because obviously you've got... Leon is sort of the Ada side of the story, whereas Claire is the Sherry side of the story. And although when you go to the police station, it's still essentially the same whichever character you pick.
Yes.
It's just the certain directions you go that are different because of Sherry and Ada, depending on the characters. But yeah, it's nice to have, as much as I love the old shitty voice acting, it is nice to have a bit more of a serious voice cast to this one. I don't think it'd work quite the same.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
I mean, one thing I didn't, because it was the deluxe edition, so I got to try out the original soundtrack with it as well.
Oh, cool.
Doesn't quite fit this version, I've got to be honest. It's cool, because there's points where you're like, oh, I recognise this area, and it's the right music for that bit.
Yes, yeah.
But I think because the original, it was it loaded in a new room, you got a new piece of music. Because this is all seamless, you go through a door and suddenly the music stops and another piece starts. it's weird.
Yeah, the transition's a bit off.
But it is still cool to have that. So if anyone does get the deluxe edition, it's a nice little nostalgic nod.
Yeah.
But if you're like me, you're probably like, all right, that's enough, I'm going back to the...
Yeah, of course.
Because the new soundtrack is very good, because it's quite sparse. You played at the preview, didn't you?
Yeah.
There's not that much music. There's little bits here and there, but it's mostly just sort of ambient sound.
Mm.
But when the Tyrant arrives and he spots you, his music kicks in and you're just like, shit.
Yeah, because I mean, I got to see that, so I know what you mean. Like, I basically shat my pants because I wasn't expecting it, and then all of a sudden you hear it, you're not quite sure what's going on, and then all of a sudden this big hulking son of a bitch starts chasing you.
I mean, I said it in the review, so people, if you're listening, go read it. Of course you're listening. What is this if shit?
Yeah.
I did say, like, the first moment I saw him, I literally went, nope. I just turned and ran. It wasn't even a case of, like, oh shit, what's going on? It was just, I knew it was him, and I was like, nope, I'm out, run away.
Yeah, of course.
But it's, like, I think he's one of the best parts of the game, but he's also the only complaint I have about the game as well, because, like, in the original, he popped up here and there, and that was it. You know, it was like a scripted moment, and he might chase you a little bit, but that's it. You'll get away, and you're done. Whereas this one, he follows you everywhere.
Right.
You know, you're around the police station, and, you know, maybe you've got some distance on him, you can't hear him anymore, but you'll move around and you'll start hearing his boots slapping. You're just like, right, okay, I'm screwed. You know, like, but because that happens quite a lot while you're trying to solve puzzles and stuff like that, it can get a little bit, like, tiring. When it's like, I just want to do this puzzle, please, you know, stop chasing me for a moment. But it's kind of like, it's not a bad thing, but it's just a thing that I'm like, if he could just stop just for a minute, just please.
Yeah, give us a break. It's scary enough.
Yeah, that thing, he's, because there's no way it's ever not tense. Because even when you're just like, oh, please just leave me alone, it's still like, he's going to kill me if he gets anywhere near me. And obviously, if you've left zombies or other creatures alive, you know, you're still going to have to run past them.
Yeah.
And he's going to be chasing you. But it is quite funny to watch him, like, basically shove zombies out the way.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I mean, there was one point, I was in the main hall, and I heard him upstairs. He came through a door and basically shoved a zombie over the balcony into the main hall. It was one of those moments where it's like, oh shit, he's here, and then I start laughing because it's just the way he just barrels it out of the way like it's not even there. It's brilliant.
Awesome. One question. I mean, Adam, you've played it as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've finished as well.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I completely agree with, like, Gary on this. I think they've delivered an excellent remake. It is really, really quite something, and the way it has been worked it. I think, like, visually, it's incredible. I think it just looks amazing. The lighting's amazing. The detail's incredible on all the items and stuff. Just to go off of, like, 2 points that Gary mentioned was, like, the voice acting. Now, I did mention this to him. I wasn't too gone, really, on Leon's voice acting. No, it's not really a massive deal. It's not, like, a major put-off. But just for me personally, I felt it was kind of flat at times for the current situation he was in. Like, for a lot of people, they mightn't feel that way about it, but I just did. And then, with the Tyrant, it is, like, it is definitely going to be a Marmite for a lot of people who play this. I think it gets to a stage where at first you're like, oh, this is amazing, and you're like, this is so intense, and you run away, and it almost feels like this kind of Alien Isolation effect.
Yes.
Because you are just in a room, next to you'll hear footsteps, and you're like, oh, don't. And next to you, he'll just blow open a door, and you're like, no! And the only way around it is by running. Like, you can shoot him and he'll kind of, like, get stunned for, like, a couple of seconds, but this fella is just non-stop, you know?
Yeah.
And that does become, what Gary just said a while ago, quite annoying when you are doing a certain puzzle or something and you can hear him coming. You're like, oh, for the love of Christ. Because you do have to run. You do have to leave that room and have him follow you to a place where he will kind of lose you, and then you're like, okay, no, I'll go back, and hopefully he's after going away somewhere else.
Yes.
That is really the two major cons I have with the remake. I do think that just the Tyrant is going to be the biggest one for a lot of people, but overall, this game is tremendous. I think the vibe is insane. I think it is incredibly scary. The AI on all the zombies, majority of the time, is fantastic. Like, because they're quite unpredictable. Like, they do come through all the doors and they'll climb over tables and stuff, and you're just like, what? Because if you've played the original, we are used to like walking into a room knowing that there's like three or four zombies, but if you go around the table, they're not going to come at you. Do you know what I mean? You can get out the other end. So it's like having this in this remake is quite funny because we're so used to the original. What they do with the story, like, look, everyone knows the story if you've played it, but they do add in a couple of surprises that I was pretty like, whoa, that's unusual, but I'm kind of down for this. There's a lot to love. However, I will say, and I was saying this to you guys as well, like, if the rumor of making Nemesis is on the cards, or like is on the table or whatever, like, I do think that, like, it's, I don't know if it's going to be amazing if this is how they handle the Tyrant in this one.
I think they'll have to scale it back slightly for the Nemesis, because if he's always chasing you, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Especially if he has his rocket launcher.
Yeah, and it is kind of like the... It does get frustrating, guys. Like, would you agree to some degree?
Yeah, I mean, because there's time... I think I even said it in the review. There's, like, times where I need to get to this room to solve this puzzle, or I've got this key for that room, and he's just outside that room.
Yeah.
So then you've got to kind of goad him into chasing you, go, you know, all the way around, basically, and it just sort of lengthens the time. I mean, I don't know how people are going to get on with speedruns on this game with him around, because he's very unpredictable where he'll show up.
Yeah, and that's one thing I will say as well, and like spot on for saying the speedrun thing, because I did think of that, because the game is actually like, it's pretty long. Like,
oh yeah,
I felt it was pretty long. I think one thing that they nailed was the survival horror aspect. I think there were so many moments where I honestly had one bullet and I was just in danger in my head, and I was like, how like you I ended up doing multiple saves, which is kind of like, that's what we all used to do in these kind of games, you know? Like,
yeah, you kind of have to.
You kind of have to. And I love that they've put all these kind of little elements in, because the game is pretty difficult. And if people are out there thinking like, oh, I'm going to just go straight into hard mode, whatever, and really kind of like take on this survival horror thing, best of luck, because like...
That's going to be another level for people, because it's like you have to have, like, whereas in unlike normal, you can just save whenever you hit a typewriter. On the hard mode, you have to find ink ribbons.
Yeah.
And when you've already got limited inventory spots as it is, and plus obviously there's the added difficulty of everything being harder. You know, every enemy is tougher.
I've got a question about that, like. Because in the previews, it took like sometimes in excess of like 7 bullets into the head of one zombie to put him down. How is that throughout? Do you find, you know, is that quite a common thing?
It's a thing, yeah.
Right, okay.
There's a bit of a randomness to it, I think, as well. And there's also, you remember on like the original games, every now and again, you'd have a shot and suddenly the zombie's head would explode. You know, it'd be a random thing, but sometimes it'd be like, it'd be a nice little bonus. It does happen in this as well.
Oh, cool.
Now and again, I'll line up a pistol shot right in the head, the head explodes, and gory. Very, very gory, this game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when the head explodes, it's a split. You know, there's bits hanging out and everything. It's well grim.
Yeah.
It's what you expect. You know, it's how Resident Evil always has been.
Yeah, and of course.
When you see, you know, the originals, you could blow off limbs, you could shoot them in the midriff with a shotgun and they'd split in half. You get that here as well, but it's that added level of detail where you'll see the sinews stretching away before snapping and stuff like that. It's
yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, if you're squeamish, you're going to struggle.
One thing I'll say, like, not once did I feel the game lulled. Like, I don't think there was, like, I didn't want it to really end, even though you can kind of tell it's coming to a close, whatever. But, like, the pacing is so good. I think every room you go into, you're just, you're terrified, and you're also just really wanting to look around, because there is a lot of like fan service within it as well. I'm incredibly curious as to where they're going to go. Like, if they release like Resi 8, say, like, is, I think I'll be so up for this style. Like, I want it to be this style over another first person. Like, I wouldn't argue on the first person thing, but I just feel they've truly nailed this. And it was something that I kind of thought, like, before going into it, I was like, oh, like Evil Within 2, for example, like that, it's just going to be kind of like that. And whenever I saw like gameplay before playing the one shot demo, I kind of thought it looked like they were taking a lot from Evil Within, but it kind of just feels like its own in a weird way, even down to like when you're running around, you're not really like bolting around the place, you're not able to go that fast, but that's kind of like maybe something they thought of within the design coming from the original, because when you run in the original, like, you can obviously, it's a bit faster, but the environments are smaller. I don't know, there's, they just really have delivered something for all Resi fans. And if you are a fan of the series, and if you are a fan of 2, if you walk away from this going, nah, fuck it, it was shit, you really should probably just stop playing games from now on, because it won't make, I don't really know what people would want more out of this. I think there's going to be a situation where I prefer if this wasn't the case, that they just didn't do that maybe, but overall I think like this game is fantastic, like well delivered, like.
I know, Mick, you're looking to get it, aren't you?
I've actually put the pre-order in the day.
Oh, wicked. So what are you looking forward to most about it?
Just being able to play it again. I mean, I don't think I've played it since it first came out, to be honest. I've never replayed it.
Yeah, long time ago, isn't it?
Longer than I care to remember.
No, I mean, it looks ace. The combat's ace as well, is it?
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like just an evolution of like the 4, 5, and 6 kind of, the over the shoulder camera shooting, but it all feels really tight, and you don't like, you only ever feel like you've missed a shot because you were panicking or something like that, you know, rather than like the controls weren't there or something like that. And like Adam said, like when you're running, you're not running too fast, so you can control yourself easy enough in like the tight spaces. But I think that might have been like a good thing on the part of the developer by going, you can't sprint, because it makes you feel more vulnerable when, you know, a zombie can lurch at you and you can grab hold of you while you're trying to run away, that kind of thing. Yeah. You're not just sprinting, you know, right away from him. It does genuinely feel like a proper survival horror game again.
And that's the thing, like, going with the gameplay as well, it's interesting, like, they didn't even put in, like, say if a zombie is out, if you're after putting a zombie to the ground, they don't give you the option to do this whole, like, stamping on their head thing, like, you know, pressing R2 and just stamping. There's none of that in it. Like, unless I'm completely incorrect, guys, but I never was given the prompt to, like, stamp on a zombie.
The only thing I ever did was, I'd use, like, the knife or something like that if I wasn't sure if it was dead. Give it a slash with a knife in the face and just see if it moves.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, like all these, like, that's another thing with the AI. A zombie would be lying there, you'd walk into a room and you'd see a zombie sitting down, and it might be dead, it might be alive, but the thing is, you don't fucking know, and you're terrified, you're just like slowly creeping along because you're trying to obviously save your ammo, because there was occasions where I had, like, you know, 50 bullets or something. I'm like, I'm sorted, I'm gonna absolutely destroy this game, and I go out, and like, it's kind of funny because when you point it, and this is like, if anyone has played a demo they'll understand, but when you aim, everyone's aiming for the head, everyone is always aiming for their head, and it's kind of hilarious because the zombie comes at you and it's almost like he's after a lash load of booze, because he's like really like, he's just kind of like shaking his head and stuff, and you're missing constantly, you know. Like, no, that could be just me being terrible at the game as well, I don't know, but there was occasions where I was like 50 bullets, no bother, and then I'd be down to like 10 and I'd be like, where are all those bullets gone? I'm like,
well, that's what the game does so well though, I think.
Exactly.
You think you've got a handle on a situation. Oh, there's just one zombie coming towards me. But as soon as he like bolts for you or shits you up, you're not on point as you were. Like you aiming will be off. So
yeah.
It always seems to have done that.
And you've got to watch it as well, because sound alerts.
Oh, the sound is so good.
You know, if you shoot, you might then suddenly start hearing the footsteps of the tyrant, because he's heard the gunshot and he's like, right, I'm coming for you. Or if there's more zombies around, like, you can creep around the zombies if you know, if you move slow enough, you don't make any noise, and like it's a good thing to do sometimes. But as soon as you shoot, any zombie within the vicinity is gonna go, what's that? And they'll spot you and they come for you no matter what. Let's say if there's you go through a door, they'll still bang that door down.
And honestly, like, this is another thing we didn't really touch upon, but like the actual sound overall, like, it's essential to play this game with headphones are at a surround sound, because things like when the tyrant comes, you can tell if it's the right or left, like you can really hear him coming. When you open a door and say if there's a zombie in there, it's almost like they have a microphone, because they're so loud when you walk in. they just roar, they get so angry with you. And there's so many occasions where, like, I've opened the door and I went, nope, and I just left the door closed back again. I was like, okay, what's inside here? This is going to be like a nightmare. It just handles the tension very well. Like, I'm not going to say this is the scariest game of all time. It's not, you know. Like, it doesn't have, like, when we played the original when it came out, it was very scary. It was a different time. And I think now with games such as, like, Outlast and, like, you know, the PT demo and whatever, like Alien Isolation, I'm kind of a bit like unsure of what I'm really scared of when it comes to games now. And Resi 2, like, the remake still does a great job of being scared, but it's not the most terrifying thing ever.
It's a
know?
Different kind of horror, isn't it? It's tense rather than like just shit your pants scary, but it's because you're always afraid of something that's around the corner, or you're not sure how many zombies are in that room, that kind of thing. So you're just always on edge rather than scared.
Like when certain things happen, like we all know the liquors exist and stuff, right? But when you eventually like see one, I smile. But I'm in my head going, oh no. But I'm smiling on the other side. Like, this is great, but I'm so not ready for this. It is, I really do think this is, like, what a start to the year to have this game. Like,
I think that one of the best things is, as I said earlier, is we're saying, oh, it's more tense than scary, but some people will come in and they'll be scared. Some people who haven't played Resident Evil, well, either Resident Evil at all or Resident Evil 2 before, they'll come in and they'll experience something brand new, as well as, like, the fans will see that as well.
Yeah.
But there's just that little bit extra for fans. Like, there's little stuff, little nods. You've got, like, little musical nods to, like, the old music just in there now and again. You've got stuff like certain zombies, they're the same as they were in the original, just obviously higher definition. It's just little things like that you'll remember, but they've changed it just enough so that you're playing a game that you've never played before.
One very, very last thing I just want to ask you guys, like, if you've played the demo and stuff as well, like, it gives you the choice that you can pick up, like, blocks of wood now, and you can, like, just put them on a window, okay? And, like, that's that. If I'm honest, I never did that.
I did.
I never saw the point, like, because
I don't know, you might not have known, you might have been a bit lucky in this, but if you leave them unboarded,
right,
more zombies can come in.
Well, like,
so
yeah.
If you've cleared an area, you can come back later, there's more.
But they can still break through.
when you have the boards up, I never saw them break through. They'll break through the glass and they'll try and reach for you. They can, like, grab you. But they never seem to break through the actual boards. I never saw that happen.
I feel like maybe it was in the demo, because in the demo they let you do that if you wanted. And I remember I picked it up and I went, what the hell is this? And I just kind of saw I can put it on the windows. Oh, cool. And I did that. And then I'm pretty certain one of them, like, broke through eventually. I think it just slows them down ever so slightly, which is why I went, oh, fuck that. I don't want to be doing them at all. Like,
I wouldn't say do it on every window, but if you choose certain ones, you know, like, no routes that you know you're going to take, like, more often, that kind of thing, then it's worth putting them on. Even if, you know, even if it does just slow them down, it just means you've got that bit of a buffer.
Yeah. Tremendous game. Loved us. Loved it, loved it, loved us.
Well, I've been playing something a little different, and it's very rarely we get to talk about VR on the podcast. And I've been playing Ace Combat 7 now. I know that's not just a VR game, but I haven't had to review it, so I haven't had to play through the main story. I've just been obsessed with the VR mode of this game. So, for those that are listening that don't know what Ace Combat is, it's a flight sim that's been around for a long time. I think it's 20 years. So it knows how to make a game like this. But the VR mode is essentially everything you think it is. You are in the cockpit, you are Goose, you're Maverick, you are King of the Skies, and it's incredible. Like, the controls of this game are superb, like, and the movement is so fluid. But when you can look to your right, look to your left, look everywhere, and see the seas below or whatever's below you, and it's just so immersive, and, like, put headphones on and it's like you're there. It's incredible. And I just wanted to talk about that because I think there's a lot of VR games around, and a lot of big games like that have VR sections in the games that are never particularly that great. They just feel like a bit of a add-on for the sake of it. But this properly uses VR in the best kind of sense. And
is it a big chunk that you get there?
Like, so from what I've played, there's like certain mission, like scenarios sort of thing where you just play through in VR. So it's not the main story. It's just kind of like just one-off missions, it seems, so far.
Yeah.
But in that, like, the first mission alone, you're like flying around for a long time, and there's a lot of kind of enemies that come at you. And because obviously playing, like, your targets are in front of you and then they can fly past you. So to get back round, you're having to turn awkwardly, but you get to look as well, so you've got more scope to see where you're turning, and then you're having to like fly right down towards the sea and stuff like that. And when you crash, it's bloody shit short because you're so immersed in it, you die in real life. It's one of them. No, it's just a really, really good game. And I think if anyone's read Mick's review of the actual story mode and everything else, then it's certainly worth playing. But I think the VR mode is excellent.
I was just gonna just follow up, like motion, like how are you getting on with us? Like,
yeah, so
this good. Feels like something that I would like. I remember, Jesus, what driving game is out in the VR? Is Drive Club out for it?
Project Cars.
I don't think Project Cars is. Like, is it is on PC, but they never added it for
not on console.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, I basically remember playing, I think it might have been Drive Club VR or something, and that was when motion really hit me, and I actually kind of fell off the couch because I wasn't able to handle it because I crashed. Like, I feel like Ace Combat would murder me. Like,
I don't know about you, Chris, but I've found that games where you're sat in a cockpit kind of thing, it doesn't bother you.
No.
It's more games like when you're walking around where your body feels like it should be moving. Like, it's like, why aren't my legs moving kind of thing. That's when the motion can get you. But I don't know whether that's just me or whether you've got that.
No, I'm the same. Because, like, at first, it's one of the best kind of... It's got the best kind of controls in it where, obviously, you're tilting left, you tilt to the right, you're flying up, down, left, to right, but you don't... I never felt nauseous. I very rarely do with VR. There are some games, like you
really?
Say, Gary.
Where,
yeah, I'm quite fortunate, but there are some games that do get me. Like, and I don't know why, but it is the games when you kind of, when you can walk, like Resi 7, it doesn't make me feel sick, but it's weird because
you're sitting down. Yeah,
and you're moving around, like you're using the controller to move around, so you've got better movement. And like Firewall, that game I was talking about on the Game of the Year pod, like the
I've played that, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, the way you're just like running around and you obviously... And Borderlands, all the games where you kind of... You get to move like you would in real life, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ace Combat is excellent. It's ace, in fact. I wasn't even trying to be...
I only actually remember playing... Shit. The last one I ever played was Air Combat, which was the very first game. I bought it for my... I think it came out in October in like 95, and I bought it for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I remember not having a single clue how to play it. I was like, what is happening?
the controls are very like simple for like someone like me. I've never played one, so it is dead easy to kind of get used to it. It's like playing like flying in Far Cry. Straightforward.
With this being on VR, I definitely want to play something like this.
Mm. I think it's certainly, if you've got a VR headset, it's a no-brainer for me. Like, this is the sort of game that VR was made for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the last year, VR, especially on PlayStation, because I can't speak for the Vive or the Oculus Rift or anything like that, but PlayStation VR in the last year has brought some really good games. Like, they're just fantastic. And I think this is certainly one. And whilst we're on the subject of VR, I've actually reviewed a VR game as well. The review is live now. It's called A Fisherman's Tale. I don't know if anyone's heard of this game.
I've seen the style of it, and it looks like right up my street.
It's very good. Like it's a physics puzzler kind of thing where, and this is going to sound really weird, and I'm going to try and explain it as best I can. But you're basically a puppet in a lighthouse. And you look exactly like the bloke who lives in the lighthouse. So you're moving around this room at the very start, and if you look above, you can see you in a bigger room, mirroring whatever you're doing. And then above that, there's another room, and it kind of keeps going on. So one of the puzzles, for example, is there's this wall with like pipes in it, and you need to find three missing pipes to put in so that the water can flow through. And you're walking around this room, and there's a little box, like a ring box that you would have, and there's a tiny pipe in it that you can pick up with your like index finger and your thumb. So you pick it up, and then you go back to the model lighthouse in the other room, and you drop it in, and then above you falls this bigger pipe, which is now at a size that will fit the wall that you're trying to fill it with. So it's kind of like that throughout, if you get me. There's a lot of kind of like there's a small ladder that you pick out of the lighthouse that you pick up and put it in the room, and now it's a bigger ladder. It's all kind of that. But towards the end, it gets like really clever. The only downside is the movement, because it's point and click. So you aim at a location and you click the button and you move there, and that's fine. But it's when you're holding an item and you move, and say you move too close to a wall, then the item falls on the floor or it disappears, and then you have to wait a few minutes for the item to respawn back where it was. So that's the only kind of major downside, is that you lose a lot of time.
It sounds like it'd be better if it had at least the option to just have standard movement.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're spot on. It would have been a lot better for me, and I'm sure a lot of people will find that. But Gaz as well, there's scenes which I wasn't expecting where obviously you're a fisherman, but there's like cutscenes where you're on a boat. And there's this one scene where there's this one scene where you go underwater, like you fall out your boat, and you it kind of fades to black, and then it comes back in, and you're underwater, and there's like just like a dead fish falling down the waves outside, and oh god, yeah, I had to close my eyes. It's really bad. But like, despite that, it's certainly like worth playing for people who want a bit of a challenge in VR. It's just a shame that you've got that issue with the movement. But yeah, you can go and read that review. That's online now. That's pretty much it for games, because you know we've not really had many out. So we're going to do news now. First bit of news we've got: EA Vancouver's Star Wars game, which has reportedly been cancelled. I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but Kotaku did a report talking to three specific people that have something to do with this game or the company, that have said it's been canned, so we're not going to get that open world Star Wars game. which I think is quite a shame, to be honest. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I just wonder when EA are going to release another Star Wars game. Are they ever going to? Or are they just going to keep cancelling them?
Because this was formed out of the Visceral Games, Amy Hennig,
yeah,
collaboration, which
yeah, that's it, this, which this was nuts. This one.
Yeah, and when Visceral Games went under in 2017, EA Vancouver took over the project. But then since then, there's been nothing. There's been no new footage, no news whatsoever. It's just assumed that they were working on it, and then all of a sudden this report comes out saying that it isn't anymore. Like, I don't know if it's going to be confirmed soon or what, but it's a real shame because, I mean, the scope of a Star Wars open world is going to be tricky. I get that. But it's only like only surely in the location of it, because we've seen massive open world games be fantastic. I don't know why they just can't crack down and get on with it.
It's really annoying because, like, the general idea from Visceral and stuff, like, I love Visceral games. Like, well, considering they had just the Dead Space one, and then they had this idea, and now that it's not going ahead, and then, like, it's like everything that I kind of love, even with the Uncharted writer being on board and stuff, I was like, oh my, this is like Star Wars Uncharted, oh my god. But like, this is, I don't understand, like, considering, like, how is Battlefront doing right now? Like, is
they're adding new characters.
Well, they just added Geonosis, didn't they?
Yeah, they added Geonosis. They added Grievous, young Obi-Wan, and I want to say Count Dooku has been added.
Oh, right,
he will be added soon, something like that. So
yeah,
they're still adding content, but I don't know what the player base is like now.
This would have been far more appealing to me, this project, though, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a new Star Wars game, something original.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just whether we're going to see that from EA or whether it's going to have to be a case of someone else steps in.
I just want to answer the Old Republic 3, which will never happen.
I suppose maybe you never know.
Even if it does,
will it see the light of day anyway?
Probably not. It'll probably get announced. 5 years later, it'll be cancelled. We're used to it by now.
There's always Lego Star Wars to look forward to, isn't there?
True.
Yeah. Yeah, we could always go and play Lego Star Wars. That's always fantastic. But next one, Mortal Kombat. Now, who's interested in Mortal Kombat 11? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because I like, go on, Mick. Sorry.
No, listen, I enjoyed 10. Like, the story for that was quite interesting. The kind of
it was
10 was the reset, wasn't it? Or was that 9?
Yes, the recent one, wasn't it?
Yes, that 9 was kind of like a retelling of the stories, I think, of all 4 of the other games, and then it was like they did 10 where it was kind of right, we're resetting with brand new characters, and you know, you had, like, I think it was Jax's daughter,
all the young ones,
and yeah, and I think
new generation.
Yeah, I think Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage had a kid as well, I think. Aye. It was in it.
Yeah.
So, they kind of went... It was almost like...
Jesus.
Yeah, it was almost like Mortal Kombat The Next Generation.
What a world to have a kid in.
I know. God. But, I mean, the reveal was recent. Like, it was live-streamed across the internet. So, what do we get? So, we got Sonya Blade, who has been voiced by Ronda Rousey, which is a complete... Like, it's a purely business deal. Because, like, the amount of advertising they're going to get on WWE is going to be ridiculous.
It's the exact same with getting McGregor in Call of Duty. This is just the way these things are going to work now.
Yeah, I mean, she has done films, but I say that lightly because she's not exactly the best. And she's pretty terrible in wrestling in terms of her ability, but in her presence and her just her mic skills are pretty atrocious. But fair play. Baraka's back.
Oh my god, his fatality. Fucking hell.
So he's back. and then you've got Scarlet from Mortal Kombat 9. But also, the new character, is it Garrus or Jarrus or whatever? He can manipulate the time.
Jarrus?
Yeah, he's like a brand new character, all in gold. But he can manipulate the time bar, so he can take it down to like 0. So I don't quite know how that's
going to... Yeah, that's going to be... That's got to be a thing that's... I don't know, like, you have to earn it. You know what I mean? Like, because if it's just like, oh, I could just do that, I'd just be like, all right, you know, I'll just run down the timer every time I'm getting to that point.
I can't imagine that being on online play.
Yeah, no. True.
That might be like kind of story-specific or something.
That'd be weird.
What's the overall response to this from the fan base? Because like when I was actually online when they were just going to do the reveal, and then I just kind of said, do you know what, I don't know anything really about this series. I watched gameplay afterwards and I was like, yeah, look, it always looks polished and looks incredible and like it's super smooth and like the violence is always the violence, and you're like, Jesus, that's insane, like how they're doing that. For some people I know that they'll probably not be too gone and how over the top it's maybe going, but I don't know, that for me personally that's what I kind of like to look at, because I think it's hilarious that developers will sit down and think about these fatalities and like,
what a job though.
What a job. Do you know what I mean? Job. It's like, yeah, I came home, yeah, I came up with two fatalities today, yeah good day in the office. Do you know what I mean?
Am I right in thinking in this one you can create your own character as well?
Oh, I don't know, that'd be
I'm sure I remember seeing that, which that'd be bizarre if you made something to look like you and then you're getting your head ripped off and stuff. Yeah. That's just going to be weird.
Out of body experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know, no, it's cool. I think the general opinion is it's looking very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a lot of people, a lot of celebrities who got invited are all going on about it, but they're probably paid to.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
But like generally, like fan-wise, I think a lot of people think it looks excellent. I think NetherRealm had Injustice 2 last, so whether that's picked up a few more fans for Mortal Kombat because of the inclusion of like Raiden and Sub-Zero in it, I don't know. But like, I'm excited for this. I think it'll be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So Division 2 is getting a beta running from February the 7th to the 11th, which I don't know. What's everyone thinking?
I don't really do betas, if I'm honest.
No. I don't mind them, but like with this, I'd rather just wait until it comes out and just get a band of us together and just go on and do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like waiting for things, so like we'll get like do a good job in the beta and then it ends and then you've got to wait another month.
Yeah.
Like, what a burden, do you know what I mean? But like it's still
I'm guessing, because like I'm not really bothered about the Division 2. Like I played the beta of the first one and that's it. I never went back. I never bought the full game or tried it. But the more I'm seeing of the second one, the more I'm kind of interested. But I mean, I think this beta is just for pre-orders, isn't it? So it's like you're gonna have to pre-order if you want to play it. But
what's selling you on this one, guys?
I genuinely can't explain it. I'm just seeing some of it and going, I quite like look.
You're kind of just in the mood for it.
Maybe it's just because the first one looked very grey because it was all like snowy, wasn't it? It was just a very colourless game.
It was pretty grim, yeah.
Whereas this one, there seems to be more colour in it. Whether it's that, it just makes it pop a bit more, I don't know. But there's something making me go, maybe I should at least give it a try.
I think with the original Division, like, I remember playing it after a couple of weeks of it coming out with Adam and Mick Fraser, and like we had a good time, but they didn't feel like there was much more to do than your standard missions and then the bit in the, like, is it the Dark Zone?
Yeah,
the bit in the middle, which is really good. But then like over the year, a lot more content kind of came about, but no one was playing it, so there was no reason for me to go back. And I just hope when it comes out to start with, there's just that little bit more to keep playing, and then when they add something, it won't be a case of like, oh, I've got to go and play that straight away because I'm bored of everything, I've done everything. I just want it to be a gradual increase, but there'll be enough there to kind of keep people playing, because I think Ubisoft do a good job with kind of games like this. Like Ghost Recon Wildlands was a really good game to play with friends, and I think when they get it right, they get it right, and I just hope that kind of is what happens with the Division 2.
Yeah.
But if you pre-ordered the game, you can play it automatically. You can sign up to win a chance to participate. So there you go. Silent Sanctuary releasing for Xbox on February the 6th. So yes. if you haven't played it on PlayStation or Switch, well, for starters, why? But if you only own an Xbox One, you need to get this. Tell him, Gaz.
Yep, definitely. It's the only game I got a platinum on PS4. I loved it that much. And then I played it again on Switch for the Switch review. And yeah, I loved it again, all over again. And I know I'm going to end up buying this on the Xbox and playing it again.
Yes.
It's such a good game.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh,
such a good game. It's basically like stick Dark Souls and Castlevania together, and you've got Salt and Sanctuary.
You got one sexy baby. Yeah. Video games, but wise. let's move on. The Dark Souls trilogy collector's edition unveiled. So has anyone got like $4.50 free just to go and buy this?
Oh, wow.
I'm totes just going to reach into my wallet and pull that out and buy this. Now, like, it's a good idea, but like, yeah, let's tell you what you're getting. So you're getting all the games, you're getting all the DLC, which is good, maybe. You get high quality, numbered and hand-painted 34-centimetre Elite Knight at the Bonfire Statue. The soundtrack featuring 6 soundtrack CDs with music from all games. And a 460-page Dark Souls Trilogy compendium containing illustrated maps with boss and NPC locations, item encyclopedia, bestiary of enemies and bosses, and a manuscript of all dialogue from each game. Like, what dialogue? But that's released on March the 1st for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Collector's edition will be coming to PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One from May the 31st. Why? I mean, we've got a question from one of our listeners in a bit in regards to like expensive special editions, collector's editions. Why? Do people buy this?
Some will.
It's
some
mental, will. Though.
I'm the kind of person that buys that stuff.
It's one of those weird ones because it's like it's a trilogy that's, you know, it's not like the first time you can ever play these. You know, these are all out. You've been able to play them for ages. It's a bit of an odd timed one, but I suppose it is. I mean, it's a very limited one, and it is purely for collectors. You know, I don't think they're even going to pretend like it's going to be for, I mean, oh, you might like this. It's like, no, this is for people who love Dark Souls, and they really want this statue. Because I'd say the statue is the main selling point for most, but yeah, it's very pricey. Very pricey.
If I'm honest, though, like, things like the soundtrack, right? Like, they're hard to get. Like, it's pretty expensive, I think, to get, like, even the likes of the full Skyrim soundtrack and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, which is, like, 6 CDs as well or something like that. Like, don't get me wrong, $450 is a lot, okay? But if the statue is, like, crazy detailed...
Yeah, I mean...
Has, like, major weight... Like, the presentation can make up for it, because there's statues on their own in some places are selling for nearly $300. Like, I remember seeing like a big penguin statue from the Danny DeVito penguin, like, and it was like $350, and like it was detailed, but you know, I was like, who the fuck is going to buy that? I came back the next week and it was actually sold. I was like, oh, there's that. But like, people do buy it. If I was this insane about Dark Souls, I would probably buy it, because I'm one of those suckers as well. I love collecting stuff. But like, to just drop $450, like,
it's a lot of money.
No,
it's one. I think you're right. And say like the stuff that you get in it, it's worth it to the people who are going to collect this. You know, they have that kind of money. I think it's just a weird time. That's all. I think if this was released, say they released this trilogy alongside Dark Souls 3, or when they did the Dark Souls remaster, rather, that's probably the most likely. Then I think maybe this would have been a bigger thing.
People out there, dude, and they'll have like Dark Souls shrines in their house, and like the fact that this says limited to 2,000 units, that's the seller. That's like, if Like, I collect so many Blu-rays, and if a Blu-ray comes out, it's like, only 300 copies, I'm sweating to buy one straight away. Like, I'd be like, that movie is shit. I'd be like, I'm still buying it because it has 300 copies only. I'm just, that's just how these things work. It's good. It's strong marketing in a way.
No, it is. And there'll be people buying him, Mick.
me, probably. But no, I'd be surprised if it was actually limited to 2,000. I mean, I don't know. It's like you could easily sell like 5,000 and then just mark like 3,000 of those units. Like, oh, this is the 2,000 statue. Like, it's highly unlikely like next door neighbours are going to be buying like a statue of both saying 2,000.
Oh, that's the thing, dude, because it's like, it says 2,000, but there's probably going to be 4,000 people who'll have this. Aye. And you're just like, how are we ever going to find this out? But look, I'm sucked into it.
There you go. Time for listener correspondence. So we're going to go to Dane, who asks, with the Resident Evil 2 remake out this week, what are your favourite, least favourite games in this series? And what improvements to the original game, other than the obvious visual upgrade, are you hoping to see? Well, you two of you already know that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did do a list on the like an article on the site a while back.
Yeah, you
like,
did.
To be fair, best, and you know the original, I think, is still my favourite. I'm gonna have to be playing this remake of 2 a lot, you know, a while more before I can say whether it's up there with the first game or not. But my least favourite, if we don't count the spin-offs, is still 0.
Oh, I was going to count the spin-offs. If you're going to count, I don't want to just shit on 6, which
I kind of like 6. All right,
I love 6.
I have fun with 6. It's hilarious.
It's daft. It's over the top.
It's so funny that it exists in this world. But, and
I mean, if we go to spin-offs, I'd say, I mean, I'd never played the. That last one they did, this Umbrella Corps.
Oh, dude, that's just what I was going to say.
Shit.
But that.
It was shit.
It is utter bottom.
Like, because I haven't actually played that one, I'd probably say Survivor 2 is the worst.
Yeah. What was Survivor 2? That
was the Code Veronica one on the PS2, and it was just fucking garbage. Like, the first Survivor was on PS1. It was bad, but it was still playable.
And what is that? Is that where you've got the group of survivors? That was
Outbreak.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the other one was Survivor was like the GunCon game. You know, you'd like gun games. And then they did Dead Aim, I think it was the third one on PS2, which was actually really good. I think such an underrated game.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it'll play without the gun, because I only ever played it with a gun on PS2.
Can I like put a twist on the question, actually, just for all bents?
If
you had to say which Resident Evil game do you think is overrated?
Oh, I'm going to have to be really unpopular and say 4.
Jesus.
It's alright, but I don't get the hype on it.
I think that's a game where of its time that hype was deserved. I think now it hasn't aged quite as well when you go back to it. Because I mean, to be fair, I've got to a point now where I can't play 4 anymore because I played it too much. Like, because I spent like £70 buying a US collector's edition on the GameCube so I could get it early. And it's only like a month before it came out over here, but I was like, I want this game. I need this game. Back when I had money that I could actually spend. I loved it. I played it through on the GameCube, on the PS2.
The Wii? The
Wii was kind of like the version where I started to go, I don't think I can play this again. Because I played
it was turning
it
into Skyrim,
much.
Was it?
Well, that's it. It's like, I don't think I can do it. And then I even bought it on sale on like the Xbox One a while back, and I was like, enough time's passed now. And even then, I got to the castle with the monks and stuff, and I was like, you know what? I just can't be bothered.
Yeah. Adam.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I would probably say 4 as well. I just remember kind of not really gelling with it straight away. Over time, I kind of started to like it more. I don't know, I just think it was a real throw off for me when it was the villagers and stuff. I was kind of a bit like, what? Like, because I just had Resident Evil as zombies up to that point.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that's all I wanted all the time, because we still weren't in an area of the world where zombies were just in everything. Yes. So, like, it was still really scary and still really cool. So these villagers, I was like, oh, what? And then I just felt the game looked so fucking brown. I was just like, okay. And, like, it is a really, really, really good game. But, like, just to go off the overhype thing, I feel 4 is that. One that's underappreciated, I gotta say, is the Revelations 1 and 2. I think they're...
Oh, God, yes.
They don't get enough credit. They're great.
Especially, is just...
Yeah, magnificent. But
still, I'm just gonna put it out there. Give us Revelations 3, please. Bring back Jill. Yeah. I want Jill back.
Yeah. Chris, what would you say?
Well, see, I... Because at the time when playing 4, I bought a GameCube just to play it, and I loved it, so... I haven't played it since. I haven't played any remakes, so I don't kind of want to, because I remember at the time, like, just playing through in like one session and just loving it. So yeah. I don't want to go back to that and feel it was overhyped. But I don't know, because like, every Resident Evil game, like bar like 1 to 3, was excellent back in the day. Resident Evil 0 was fine, but then that was never overhyped.
No.
And 6 was kind of. Wasn't appreciated by everyone. I don't know if 5 was overhyped, but I didn't really like 5 that much.
No.
So I'm going to just go with that. Let's just say it was overhyped.
And oh, five, I think, is still the highest selling game of the series.
Is it? What? Well, there you go.
Are you serious?
I'm not sure if that counts 7. I don't know if that outsold it, but I think because 5 was the first one on like the new generation at the time, the 360 PS3. I think because of that and the co-op side of it, I think that's what got it the sales. It just did really, really well.
Yeah.
Was Mick going
with Resi 4?
I'm sticking with Resi 4.
Yeah.
But was Resi 4 the one that had that awful collector's controller? It was like the shape of a chainsaw or something. That was
it's brilliant.
Unusable.
It's brilliant. Oh. I've got one of them on the GameCube.
I regularly look up online for that to see if I can like buy it for a decent price.
Yeah, just I don't even know if I'd sell mine, but it's just like it's just sat there. I only ever used it once, and it was surprisingly comfortable.
Nicola has it too.
Nicola has the PS2 one. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's it's stupid. There's no way you can really play using it properly.
Not for long periods, anyway.
It's surprisingly comfortable. It's surprisingly comfortable to use. It's just...
Really?
It's awkward in just because of the shape of it. Like, you've got a chainsaw sticking out one side. Kind of thing, you know? Or, like, the chainsaw blade, I should say, sticking out one side. So, you know, it's not exactly...
Practical.
Ergonomic.
Yeah. There you go. Chin controllers. So, Thomas, Llama Fluff 42. If you had to give up one, which would it be? Video games or films?
Films.
Oh, I don't know. This is a tough one for Adam. I can feel it.
Yeah, I can feel his conflict.
I was. This question has been in my head all day, and if I'm honest, I probably will have to say films because of you get in more of an interaction with a video game. You can actually do something with a video game. A film, like, as much as it kills me. But, you know, over time, a film will end and you'll be like, all right, cool. But, like, a game can go for a long stretch of time. So...
Yeah, nah. Mick?
I've been spending all day thinking of this as well. And I ended up on films for, like, well, two reasons. One, I wouldn't have to sit through an awful video game version of a film. Oh, wait. Film version of a video game, even. And I would never have to see Adam Sandler's face again.
Fair point.
That's a good one.
That's very specific.
He was one that just popped out of my head. It's like I could just do a no seeing his face on my screen.
No, that,
It's weird you say that, because actually he popped up on like Twitter today, because I'm pretty sure it's like an anniversary of Happy Gilmore or something.
That's when it was like, I used to love Adam Sandler, and then he started making
his own films. Jill.
yeah, exactly.
And he kept making films.
And he's the only one that seemed to appreciate Roy Schneider, or Rob Schneider, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Rob. Was it Roy Schneider, doing Jaws?
Yeah, and Sequest, DSV, boom. Oh, bad boy. I tell you what, Adam, I'm gonna change this question one more time for you.
Alright.
Video games or music?
Oh Christ, it'll probably be video games.
I
always say this, and it's very, very, very cheesy, but the world can't survive without music, and that's a fact, even though it's a very, very shite industry in terms of making people cannot survive without music. Like, everyone needs a song, like, in their head to be singing, because it makes people very calm and it changes people's moods. Right. Even though video games and films do the same thing, music is definitely important.
Yeah, agreed. Luke Phillips at Lukey EDH. When the reveal of... Oh, we've already done this, kind of. But I feel that it's been so well-received, Mortal Kombat 11. I feel that it's been so well-received that it has an opportunity to transcend its core fan base and draw in players that aren't traditionally core fans of the genre. What did you guys make of the reveal, and has it piqued your interest at all? So is anyone going to be getting this after the reveal, basically?
Yeah, no. I'll probably... I mean, I loved Mortal Kombat 9, and I love the fact that since then, every fighting game has basically used its... story mode, basically the way it worked. 10 I wasn't as keen on, but it was still good. But I think because these guys are still the guys that made the Injustice games, and Injustice 2 is just fucking brilliant, because of that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm still in.
Yeah, I want it 100%. I want to get me some gore. So, my boy, Lyle Carr at Fish Chips Whips asks, I definitely want to know about your favourite cakes.
All right, can I jump in here for a second, right? Like, we are here doing this video game podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a couple of listeners, they might not know this, but me and the other Adam used to do a food podcast, right? Where were all the questions then regarding food? This would have been fantastic. I don't know what's happening. But to answer your question, Fish Chips Whips, and I'm just going to call you that because it's a very entertaining Twitter name, I am going to say a lemon cheesecake.
Oh,
because anything lemon is the business.
Yeah. Well, I'm going with Battenberg.
That's a nice one, yeah.
Hang on a second. What's that?
Don't, shut up. Are you serious?
What did you say? A Battenberg?
Battenberg.
A Battenberg?
Are you serious?
Very serious. I don't know what the fuck that is. A Battenberg. That thing?
Yeah. Yeah, the pink and yellow.
Looks like something out of The Witness.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I've never actually tried that.
Very sweet.
Try and get your hands on it.
You get mini Battenbergs, can't you?
I'd like to know what you think.
Hang on. With pieces covered in jam, the cake is covered in a marzipan and cut in cross-section displays. Hang on a second now. A light sponge cake with the pieces covered in jam. I'm seeing no jam on these pictures.
It's a very, very... thin slithering of jam.
Yeah, it's more like it's cream, the marzipan sort of thing. Yeah, right. It's like, yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, it's coming in all different kind of
it's
colours.
Very nice. I think for me...
Get yourself some, Adam. Let me know.
It's a very
think.
Strange name for a cake, if I'm honest.
It is. It is.
Very violent.
Yeah. It comes from Viking times.
Jesus. I learned a lot
today. I don't know that. I'm just... it might not be. Mick?
Probably a Victoria sponge.
Ooh,
but only because there was... me and my wife went to Blackpool last year for a birthday, and there's this wee market that sells like homemade Victoria sponge cakes, and they're the best thing you'll ever taste.
Awesome.
It was,
it's quite... it's quite entertaining here because you're mentioning these cakes, and I, for some unknown reason, I'm actually bringing them up on Google Images, and I'm just agreeing with the screen. I'm like, yeah, you look good.
Oh, this one, because this one was homemade, though. It was overloaded. Like, you see the pictures, it's like a thin sliver of cream, but this is like the homemade one. The cream is like the same thickness as a sponge. Is that much?
Did you take pictures, Mick? Is there proof of this cake?
It did not last that long. As soon as we got back to the hotel room, it was gone.
Mick's not the sort to bother taking photos of his food. He's normal. He eats
fair
food.
Game.
Unless I've made something and I am really fucking proud of it, I'll take a picture then. But any other time, it doesn't last long enough. Straight in the gob.
Nice.
Gary.
Are you going to say?
I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's like a sponge cake. Like, no, with like sort of the raspberry and cream in the middle, but it's got that layer of coconut over the top.
A Victoria sponge with coconut over the top.
I genuinely don't know. I can't, because it's been that long since I had it, and I really fucking want one, but I can never find them anymore. But I used to love them.
I can't look that up on Google. You didn't give me a name.
shout out to Black Forest Ghetto, by the way.
A second, right? I may have beef with that.
What?
Not actual like beef, not the meat, but like just a bit of like a bit of a situation. Though. Black Forest Ghetto. Let me see here. What's on this cake? Cherries. I fucking hate cherries.
You hate cherries?
Cherries are the
Why?
Devil.
Why?
Because they taste like toes. They're just really weird.
Fucking toes.
They're just, you know. They're just stupid and they look weird and they're really, I don't know, they're not pleasant, but everything else surrounding it though underneath is lovely. Like, cherries are always demanding attention. Look at it. You can't look at it, but if you looked on Google like I am.
I bet the pictures are like, the pictures of cherries are like, they've got a shine on them and they're majestic.
Yeah, they went to the cherry polish shop or something. Yeah. they are seriously popping.
Yeah. Which is an actual shop.
Oh, a good old chocolate fudge cake as well. Good. Like chocolate fudge brownie with ice cream, and the ice cream melts over it. Oh,
do you know what I don't like at all, lads? Is I don't like eclairs.
Ale.
Yeah, I'm not that.
Yeah, I can eat them, but they're not.
They're really crap. Like, you'd always get them at like a stupid function or something that you don't want to be at, and you're like, oh brilliant, nice one, cheers. It looks really depressing.
Style over substance, chocolate eclair. Yeah. Well, what about vanilla slice?
Oh, can't.
What's that?
Nah, not for me.
You've not had a vanilla slice?
It's nope, basically like really thick custard with like two bits of pastry at the top and bottom. It's amazing.
You try and eat it whole and it's all over your mouth.
Oh,
it's all over your face.
As soon as you bite it, like the rest of the custard just comes shooting out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't know how I feel about that, lads, because I have a beard, and you know what I mean. Carnage.
That's the problem. A bit gets stuck in that beard. It's gonna smell in a few hours.
Vanilla slice, and
I find that. What's unfortunately?
Is that like you ate one, and then a few hours later you went home, and the missus was like, "What the fuck is that smell?"
I thought shit was saying, Gary.
I swear to God, that stuff does happen, man. And I'm not like, no joke here, right? I remember one time I had a bowl of Coke Pops, and it's going to sound disgusting because it sounds like I don't wash myself, but I do. But like, I had a bowl of Coke Pops, went off with my day, whatever, grind, and around lunchtime I was scratching my face and three Coke Pops came out of my beard. It's like, that's desperate. And I was surrounded by people. I was like, well, I've no way of getting out of this. I'm just really embarrassed right now because I look like an absolute slug.
I've got a lip piercing, but I've got a spike stud, and I had a rolling sausage and work one morning and took a bite in it, did not realise that a bit of bread lodged itself on the stud, and I didn't notice for about an hour, and I'd been going up and talking to people with this bit of bread hanging off my stud.
For some reason I just envision a more extreme version of the whole roll just being stuck on your stud, and you're just like carrying on with your day and just being like, whatever.
It could have been, I wouldn't have noticed, but the fact nobody said anything to me, so they just both looked at me and went, aye, that seems pretty standard for Mick.
Yeah, it's a good place to keep it rolling though, to be honest. Aye. Good place.
And the final question, which is a reoccurring question, McPoo asked, you have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of your last video game you played. Will you survive and will you have a nice time?
No.
I'm guessing you
fucking
two,
right? No, yeah. I'd be fucked. I've been Raccoon City with just zombies everywhere and a massive guy in a trench coat trying to rip my head off. Yeah, so no, nice. I wouldn't have a good time, and no, I definitely wouldn't survive.
My one's actually quite different. I plan on talking about this game like probably next week, but I started Detroit: Become Human.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, to survive in it, I don't really know. Like, it depends if I'm an android or just a miserable human being, because that's what that game seems to be at the moment.
So a lot of miserable people and that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe. Like, the androids seem to be kind of okay. They seem to just crack on with their day. So if I was one of them, maybe. But yeah, I'll see.
Beautiful.
Well, the last game I played was Sea of Thieves.
Oh, that sounds like a great time.
I'm sure it'd be fine. As long as I didn't get attacked by, like, giant sharks or krakens or anything like that. So I'd probably just... I don't know, stick to an island and, I don't know, have a wee pop-up shop or something like that.
at least you'll be surrounded with really good-looking water.
Aight, I can just sit and stare at it all day.
There you go.
Aight, so I could have a nice time, then.
I played Ace Combat.
Oh, you're going to die. You'll be dead.
well, for starters, 24 hours in the plane is probably not got enough... like fuel for that, so yeah,
just make sure that you've landed before the fuel runs out, or then just sit there for the rest of the time.
So yeah, I'd have a nice time, I guess, but I'd have a nicer time just flying around, not having to fight people. But unfortunately that game won't let you do that, which is mean. But there you go. Well, that's it for today. So thank you all for listening. It's been a lovely podcast. Obviously, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at FirstAvenger83. Adam is at AdamZokes. Gary is at BlueFury47. And Mick is at Mick_since_1986. And you can follow God is a Geek at God is a Geek. Or visit our website, godisageek.com, for all the reviews, including all games talked about today. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful evening, day, or whenever you choose to listen. Thank you. Bye-bye.